ba do ba do ba ba do ba do ba do ba ba do ba do ba do ba ba do ba do.
Was somebody opening a Zagnut bar during Steve Alexander's business report and Mark Harmon Sports?
Yeah, I don't know. That's exactly what we heard.
Zagnuts.
Why Zagnut?
Because that's the official bar of WGN.
Of Gonzaga.
Oh, it is. Oh, the no Zagnuts. I take my Zagnuts
right
back. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. This is us on the stream and on the internet, and we're thrilled that you're listening, and it should be a good show. We have much to discuss with you. If you want to call in, you can. The number is top secret.
Oh, Kevin, come on.
Kevin,
wait,
what's the
312
yes.
325
no.
Shh, shebangies. 312-235-2525.
You got it. Way to go.
All right, so call in anytime you want.
I don't remember
we
what I
don't
said.
Have texting ability as of yet. That's something that we hope to have in the future. We're never going to have that.
I don't think so, Bill. You keep saying that, and I keep looking at you like,
I want, there should be texting ability.
I want texting, he says.
Just give out your cell phone. They can text you, Bill.
No.
You got him almost.
Oh. All right, so call in, don't text in.
Wait, 312-235-2525.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what's the other number?
What does
981-7200 is the studio number.
Which you can text us on that. I'll peek.
Yeah, let's do that. It'll throw Elise Glink off her game a little bit downstairs because she's filling in for Steve. But if you need to text us, if there's an emergency and you want to reach us through text, do that. Do 312-981-7200, and Wendy and I will monitor that, and it'll mess her up downstairs. But that's okay.
Are you going to monitor it, too, or Wendy and I meeting me?
No, I can also.
I got it.
I'll throw it on the monitor. Okay, here's some big news. This is something you and I have discussed a couple of times over the years, and it has to do with something that we all refer to as the five-second rule. And for those of you who are not aware of what the five-second rule is, I'm amazed because I thought that this was international.
I think it is.
Isn't it discovered worldwide?
Although, can I tell you, I didn't hear it called the five-second rule till I was an adult.
What did you think it was before that?
I didn't know there was a rule. It's just if I dropped something and it wasn't on carpeting.
Yeah.
As a little kid, I would just pick it
just
up and
pick
eat
it up
it.
And eat it.
I didn't know there was a rule. I just did it.
Many people believe that if something is dropped on the floor, sometimes carpet, sometimes tile, sometimes wood, name your favorite flooring.
Laminate. But it depends on the flooring, Bill, because say you drop a piece of pizza.
Yes.
And you drop it on your kitchen floor, which
yes.
is linoleum or
yes.
whatever.
Yes.
If it lands face up and you've just had your floor cleaned.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm going to pick it up and eat it. If it lands on carpeting.
Then
I
it's
am
done.
Not going to, because there's
it's
all fuzz stuck to it.
Our floor, and you know this because you've been to the house a few times, we have rubber floors so that if we do drop something, it quickly bounces back
right
up
back
to
in
us.
Your mouth.
It's what we call the half a second rule.
The rubber biscuit.
The rubber biscuit.
You go hungry. Bow, bow, bow.
So many people believe, and we'll tell you whether or not these people are correct or not, that if something is to drop to the floor, some food item, and it drops, you'll see people go, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 1,000. And if they pick it up before 5, that somehow germs have not affixed themselves to the food item.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe it either. Because germs don't play that. Germs don't sit there going, okay, I haven't jumped on it yet. I haven't jumped on it yet. Now I jump on it. Food is destroyed. Germs don't understand the 5-second rule.
It's kind of like, and again, I'm going to use a piece of pizza, but you know where people dive off the stage. What's that called?
Crowd surfing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you proud of me?
Is that it? Crowd surfing?
Crowd surfing.
Crowd sourcing.
No, crowd surfing.
Okay. Well, when you jump off, that's very good, by the way.
Thank you.
Somebody jumps off of the stage. Right away, the hands touch this person
yeah.
to move them along, much like the bacteria catching the piece of pizza to pizza surf it across the floor. They're not going to wait to jump on it right then and there.
It's instantaneous.
Yes.
The second your morsel of food touches the ground, germs are there waiting with open arms. They can't wait. They love it.
So you have a new study that is definitively explaining this.
MSN reporting over the weekend that the 5-second rule is a real thing. May I read this to you?
Please.
It says, there's no point denying it. Most of us at some point in our lives will have dropped a piece of food on the floor, quickly glanced around to make sure that no one was looking, and then gobbled it up, because as long as you pick it up within 5 seconds, it will not make you ill. Now, I never looked at the 5 second rule as I might get sick or not. I looked at it as I just dropped food on a floor that 1,000 people have walked on. Do I need to put this in my mouth? I never thought, oh no, if I do, I'll get sick. It's just,
it's gross.
It's grimy, yeah.
And I have to be honest with you, I have to take back my piece of pizza. I hate to do that to you, but anything that's moist, mm-hmm. I hate that word, mm-hmm. I won't eat off the floor. Like if it's enclosed like an M&M. If I drop an M&M,
then you're gonna eat it.
And maybe even like a Chips Ahoy, because it's hard.
A cookie you would eat.
Maybe. But a piece of pizza or something that is ooey or gooey, I don't know that I'd pick up and eat off the floor.
Interesting. So it's the texture of the food that makes you decide.
Well, yeah. I mean, because now going back to that piece of pizza, if it's the, you know, how you have some people enjoy cold pizza for breakfast,
yeah.
It's not ooey and gooey anymore. So
right.
Maybe I'd pick that up and eat it.
Well, people, oftentimes you'll hear somebody say, the floors were so clean, you could eat off them. Has that ever happened once in the world? Has anyone went, these floors are so clean, and forget about the table. Let's just sit on the floor and eat. An indoor picnic.
With no plates.
Right. Who needs plates? According to new research, this again from MSM, there is truth behind the so-called 5 second rule, even though it has often been dismissed as an urban myth. Not only that, but for some foods, it could even be extended to a half an hour. There's a 30-minute rule, not just a 5 second rule. Rigid foods, this gets back to what you mentioned, the consistency of the food, the texture of the food. Rigid foods, such as your dry toasts, your biscuits, your chocolate, can be left on the floor for up to half an hour and will not pick up any additional bacteria in that time, according to researchers at Aston University. Now, it says additional bacteria, but doesn't that imply that the second it hits the floor, that bacteria is on that food?
Can I tell you something? Your kitchen has bacteria all over it,
sure,
even
it
the
does.
Counters.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you, and I will say Jimmy Mac uses Windex on the granite 100 times a day.
Yeah.
But there's still bacteria there. They say the dirtiest thing in your house, even worse than the toilet, is your kitchen sponge.
Yeah.
Everything accumulates in the kitchen.
I know.
So if you drop something on the floor, again, the rigidity of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to have some bacteria, but it can't penetrate it.
Right.
So what I would do is pick it up, blow it off, and hopefully I would blow off the bacteria.
Germs. Take this, germs.
Whoa!
You know what we do sometimes, Wendy, is we will spray Pam on our floor, and then the Blackhawks have their morning skate in our kitchen. We've done that a couple times.
They don't even need their skates.
No.
Just with their socks.
Their socks. Right.
You should do that.
Chalmerson's always the first one there.
I believe
he loves it. However, it says here, the 5 second rule should still apply to foods such as pasta and sweets, which tend to pick up more germs when left on hard floors for longer periods.
Ooey gooey and crevices. Those are things that are going to invite germs.
I bet I bet you're right. The scientists tested the 5 second rule. I'm glad scientists are working on this because there's no other problems in the world of science right now.
Shaquille O'Neal already figured out that the earth is flat.
Yes, he did.
So that's one thing they can scratch off their list.
Crossed off. Got to work on the 5 second rule. Scientists have tested the 5 second rule with different foods on various surfaces, including carpet, linoleum, and tiles, which were riddled with up to 10 million bacteria. Did they ever wash their kitchen floor? Ever? It's safest to eat food dropped on carpeted floors.
No,
I don't believe that at all.
Okay, maybe it's safest bacteria-wise, but you're going to be eating fibers and fuzz.
Right, right.
Don't they do mornings down the dial?
Fibers and fuzz, Q101. Give us a call. The research suggested, as this has carpeted floors, have the lowest bacteria levels.
Why is
after
that?
After 3.5 minutes. I don't know why 3.5 minutes would play into that equation.
I think carpets are a breeding ground.
I do too.
And like a frat party for germs.
Right.
Because they can hide down in there. I know you vacuum. I spent a ton of money on a Dyson vacuum.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed at all the stuff it picks up.
Yeah.
But there are still little guys hanging down in there.
Sometimes, like the house I grew up in, now keep in mind, we bought the house in 1968 or 69. So as you know, because I've told you this, we had shag carpeting in every room.
What color?
Red through most of the house, green in two of the rooms, like a lime green, a color that goes with everything. It's a neutral color.
It's coming back, though.
Your grays, whites, and lime greens. You can match that up with anything.
Can I just ask you, because I forget, was it like the 2-inch variety where it came with a rake where you were supposed to rake it, or was it a little shorter where you didn't need to rake it?
It was like the Congo in our house. The shag carpeting was so lush that sometimes now if I go back to the house, I'll find like a puzzle piece or something that I lost when I was in fourth grade. There's stuff that you would drop stuff and just never see it again, and it would just show up 20 years later, 30 years later. It was so thick.
You had a third brother.
Right, maybe. It's possible. But it says if you drop food on a laminated or a tiled kitchen floor, it's worth picking it up quickly or perhaps just binning it.
What does that mean?
Throwing it away? I think that means throwing it in the trash bin. I've never heard that word before.
And don't sit there and count. If you drop something, pick it up right away.
Right. Our house had a timer up on, almost like a college basketball game where it has a shot clock.
You'd hit the buzzer.
Yeah. We'd all buzz in, and then we'd watch the clock. 5, 4, 3. I got it. I can eat the sweet tart. People may not realize that dry foods, hard foods, are really quite a low risk, said leading researcher and germ expert Professor Anthony Hilton.
That's what I said.
You did say that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do they pick up much bacteria on impact with the floor, but they do not get any additional contamination over time. So I think if you're a believer, this is just my postulate, if you're a believer that as soon as something hits the floor, it's got the germs and bacteria on it, I'm not eating it, then the time element beyond that doesn't matter, does it?
No.
I don't think so.
I, first of all, try not to drop food. That is my first thing.
Right.
And if I do, I will. There are times that I have dropped something. I can't think of anything recently. Maybe a Cheez-It.
Yeah, that seems like a food that would be easy to drop.
You're grabbing a couple out of the box and you drop one, and I find myself looking at it for a minute and going, there are more in the box.
Yeah.
So I'll just throw it out.
Right.
If it was the last one, I might eat it.
Then it's trickier, isn't it? Can I throw my wife under the bus for just a quick second? Terry is one of the neatest people I've ever encountered in my life. As neat can be. Unless she's eating popcorn, it's crazy.
It's everywhere.
I'd say the success rate of her getting the popcorn from the bag to her mouth is somewhere around 20%, which is not a very high number.
What are you usually doing while you're eating popcorn?
Watching a TV show.
Okay. You're not focusing on the popcorn.
Right.
You're focusing on the television screen.
She's so engrossed in whatever show we're watching that it's like a joke. It's like you're not getting any popcorn at all. She's taking it out of the bag and just moving it towards her mouth. But then when our show is done, we have to call in a Zamboni machine.
I am like that as well. And when you go to a movie theater too, like if you look at my seat.
Oh, she's banned from the General Cinemas, will not allow her in the theater.
I find it in my bra later. Seriously. And here's why, and I can't answer for Terry, but I will try to defend her.
Yeah.
We're so enveloped in what we're watching that I don't do one kernel at a time. I do a handful.
Yeah.
So some of it is going to fall. You must use your tiny little fingers and take one morsel at a time. And
I'm a one or two popcorns per movement guy.
No, I like a whole mouthful.
Handful of popcorn
yeah.
at the same time.
So therefore, it's not going to all. You know, granted, I have a big mouth, talking-wise, but not physically.
Right.
So you're going to miss on the side sometimes. It's all over.
It's on her clothes. It's on her mouth. It's on the floor. Our next-door neighbors will bring over a bag, and they'll go, were you just watching TV? Because this popcorn fell into our yard. It's all over the place. And other than that, like any other food, not a problem. But popcorn.
Popcorn is tough. I'm with Terry on that one.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Want to jump in? You can. The phone number again, Wendy, is
312-235-2525.
Easy to remember. Give us a call. Don't give us a text. It's illegal. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Bill, do you remember a week ago when we first started doing our show on the stream?
We were so young back then. Remember how young we were?
Well, our first week, and we didn't have part of the team because she was in Mexico. So Kim Gordon very graciously filled in for her. But she is back in action right now.
Yes.
That's our friend Judy Pilak you're referring to.
Hola, chica and chico.
It'll never be the same,
Bill. Oh, my goodness. Mexico
was it wonderful? Was it great? Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, day four, I'm like, ugh, the sun again?
Yeah.
It was, the weather couldn't have been more perfect. I don't understand how parts of the world can be like
mm-hmm.
that. The same every single day.
And we don't live there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, we would have heard that had there been more than 2 days of show.
You know what? Two days was enough.
You like dogs.
All right. Oh, my. Did you see what I had to do? Did you see any of the videos?
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
I had to go to the pool bar and interview people. Then I had to do like a conga line. It was exhausting.
Violetta had to make sure people had lime for their shots of tequila. I saw that.
Yeah, so don't say we didn't work.
No, it's a lot of hard work.
Pretty darn hard.
Bill, you and I have been away on shows together, on different shows apart.
Yeah, right.
Have you ever done 2 days out of a week, or have you done all 5 days?
No, they always usually make you do every day you're there, you do a show, but not this time for some reason.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I just feel like 2 days was enough.
Well, yeah. I would like to do a week with the listeners and do 1 day of shows.
Yeah.
You know what? I schmoozed with the listeners all week.
Poor baby.
It was tough. I know it was
in
tough.
In my bathing suit, in the 90 degree weather,
There's
and by the way,
scars.
In the pool.
Well, we'll talk to you a bunch more about it, and I know on Roe Show it'll certainly come up, but can we quickly talk to Mara? Because we were talking about the 5-second rule when you drop food, and she has something interesting to add.
Hi, Mara.
Hi. Okay, here's my deal with that. I have been known, and yet nobody knows it, when something like meat falls on the ground, and that's our dinner, like piece for me, piece for my husband, I tend to wash it off. And then I give it to him.
Oh, no.
You shouldn't be saying this on the radio.
No. You do this with any frequency? You've done this more than once?
Well, it's happened a couple times. But you know what? Because I know it's dropped on the floor, you know what? I don't think it's right that I eat it because then I'm going to be hesitant. I can kind of look at him and watch him, but not look at him and watch him.
Man, you're evil. No idea. It's one thing I could see if you dropped it and you rinsed it off and cooked it and you both shared it, but you're making sure he gets the one you dropped. You're evil, Mara.
I know. It's really sad. But I will say, on the other side of that, if it's a jelly bean, then it's a fight for it, and between the dog, too. So, you know, I think that's good. Sometimes I'll share that one. And he's happy to have the jelly bean. He just says, he has no, I just can't, I can't eat it myself. You know, but.
Because you'll know, you know.
I know, but I figure I.
What you don't know won't hurt you.
Exactly. So better than me being upset eating that meal.
Oh, that's true. Good way to look at it, Mara. Very safe way to look at it. Well, thank you for the call and admitting this.
I know. Don't tell him.
No, it's.
I hope he's not listening.
Oh,
Mara.
He's in a meeting or something. Don't say my name out loud.
All right, we will.
Okay. All right, Pam. All right. Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
See what I did there? I tried to save her.
Well played.
Thank you.
Very well played.
All right. I think her marriage is over.
I get it, though.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
I know you would. Yeah, I wouldn't do it, but I would think about it.
Well, yeah, I can't throw it away.
Yes, you can.
It's a big piece of meat. No. Washing it off is fine. And giving it to someone else to eat.
When I was a kid, at a holiday once, we went to somebody's house. This was the week before Christmas. And they gave us a pie, an incredible cherry pie. And then weeks later, my mom said that the lady in the family who invited us over told my mom a week later that cherry pie I dropped before I had a chance to bring it out there. But I didn't want to tell anybody that night because nobody would have eaten it. But a week later, when they were talking, she confessed this to my mom. And everyone in her family was like, oh, you should have told us at the time.
You shouldn't have said anything.
Right. Don't bring it up a week later.
Because now you know they never ate anything she made again.
We never went to their house.
Exactly. You just
We're
dumped
done
them as
with you.
Friends.
No longer are friends.
Ew. Yeah. Cherry pie. How'd she put it back together again?
You know, it came out with like this elaborate whipped cream top. And I remember thinking to myself.
Like hair sticking out of it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
All right, Jude, thank you so much. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, it's Judy Pilak, who is going to be doing news with us all the time, pretty much, right?
So I'm
going
to need tequila.
How much tequila
exactly,
Judy?
Not a lot, maybe a shot.
A shot per show, is that enough?
You know what I was drinking all week, though, that I actually went out yesterday and bought all the stuff to make it?
What's
this? And made one.
A mojito.
No, it's the craziest thing, because I drank these in like the 90s, you know, the White Russians?
Yeah.
But they're White Russians blended.
Oh, that sounds good.
What's the difference?
A lot.
It's just foamier.
Yeah, right? it's like a an icy kind of slushy drink. Oh, I drink it all.
Oh, blended in that.
Blended,
respect.
Yes, in a blender.
All right.
Well, you were in a situation in Mexico last week where you hang out at the pool and there's constantly a guy coming around saying, can I get you something to drink? And it's rude to say no to these
exactly.
things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Of course it is. So right. I would have a drink in my hand, and I would say, sí, gracias.
That's all it took.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
See how good I am?
There's no downside to that.
Did you do a lot of pina coladas?
No, there was something called a Miami Vice. It was a pina colada on the bottom and a daiquiri on top. So it was
with
red
some
white.
Razor stubbles.
And no sauce.
And everything right. was blended. Everything was blended, yeah.
Yeah.
It was all so good. And my favorite, though, was called an iceberg.
What is the iceberg?
Beer.
Yeah.
So you have a tall glass beer on the bottom and then... like a blended lemonade, you know, to a frost, and then they plop it on top. And in that lemonade, they put a whole bunch of more liquor.
Oh, that sounds all right,
too. It was a Canadian one. The Canadians all were drinking it.
Yeah.
And believe me, by day two, when I drank one, everyone was drinking them. Because you'd walk through the pool, and people were like, what's that?
Right, got to have one.
You know, I don't like to mix my beer with other things.
No,
a shot.
You would like this, though. It keeps it cold, and it's lemonade. It was really, really good.
So like a shandy, you've had that, right?
Yes.
Where it's beer and lemonade
yep.
mixed together. But
absolutely.
With an icier component
yes,
to it.
Yes, is good. Don't.
How did they get you on the plane? I see you kicking and screaming to not come back home.
I know.
Like
I was crying. sobbing.
You.
Then
I
it was a quiet sob the whole ride.
We have to say hello to a friend. We don't have to, but it'd be rude not to. Kristen McQuarrie is in studio with us to talk about the world of politics and other things. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
How are you? Nice to see you.
I'd rather talk about drinks. I like the Michelada.
Oh, what's
like,
that?
It's beer mixed with a little Bloody Mary mix.
Oh, now that I would try.
A little tequila.
Yes, people were having that with not tomato sauce, but clam juice.
Oh,
yeah,
maybe some
other kind. Yeah, that was a big drink, too.
My mother-in-law, I like a good Bloody Mary with the vodka in it. She drinks a Bloody Maria, which is a Bloody Mary, but with tequila instead of vodka.
Oh,
I've never heard of that.
Never heard of that.
And beer makes it all good, always. Shot of beer in there.
The pool makes it all good.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, the sun. Okay.
When are we taking the stream on the road? And I don't mean just
Let's
Berwyn.
Let's do that. Let's take it somewhere exotic.
Rosemont, here we come.
Okay. Kristen, you could argue that politics leads to drinking. There's the tie-in that I think we're all looking for, right?
That was a lovely transition, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You might want to be drinking if you're watching the House Select Intelligence Committee right now. Because...
Or as I like to call it, Comey don't play that. That's the name that I've given it. What has James Comey shared with the nation?
He has shared that he has confirmed, in fact, that the FBI is investigating interference from the Russians with the election. Other than that, it's a lot of they try to send him down a hypothetical path and he tries to pull them back. And you have Democratic senators really focused on kind of who knew what and when they knew it. I'm sorry, representatives. This is in the House, not the Senate. And then you have Republicans, House members very concerned about the leaks and who, you know, where are these leaks coming from? And, you know, referring back to New York Times articles and Washington Post stories. And then you have James Comey sitting there kind of saying, you know, we don't really play a role in correcting news stories if they're wrong or lauding them if they're correct. So it's going to be a long day.
Can I ask how people feel about James Comey? Because with the whole email thing and the investigation, and he comes out right before the election and says, you know, we have new evidence, but we're not going to do anything about it. There are people on both parties who I don't think are fans of his.
That's true. I would say in this case, the fact that he says as much as he can. And so you do have House members on both sides of the aisle beginning their questioning with thanking him for being as open as he can be. I think everyone understands that this is an ongoing investigation. So he can say less about this than he can about investigations that are closed. And the more they press him to release information, you don't want to notify the people you're investigating what path you're going down. So he has to be very careful. And I think they respectfully understand that. But it's clearly political, as these hearings always are. You have Republicans very focused on which, you know, you have the Mr. Rogers, the NSA security director there. The leak came from somewhere in his office. There are only maybe 10 to 20 people who would have known some of this information dating back to Michael Flynn and leaking the transcripts of conversations that they intercepted with Flynn, who was then an advisor to the Trump campaign, and the Russian ambassador. And, you know, one thing I have to say, with all of the criticism about Trump and the press and is the First Amendment in danger? In any other country, those directors would have been had their fingernails dragged off. They'd be waterboarded. You know, there would be forced lie detector tests to figure out who leaked what to whom. And same with the reporters. And that is still a sealed. That is still information unknown to us. Reporters are protecting their sources like they should, and they always do. And the government is not pushing too hard to upend what is a foundation of our democracy.
Do we know for sure, Kristen, there was a story a couple of weeks ago that Spicer at some point said to everybody in the room, in the circle, put your phones on the table. We're going to look through the phones. Did that actually happen, or was that just a story?
No, I think that did happen. I don't think it has come up in the hearings that I've been watching so far today. But... You know, I have different views on that. These are people who work for the government. And if you have a government-issued phone or a company-issued phone,
it is
not your information. And I have a Tribune phone.
They have every right to say, can I look through it right now?
Well, sure. I mean, I guess, if it's their property, if it belongs to the company, and if you don't want to be ever exposed to that, then...
Pay your own bill.
Pay your own bill. Have two phones like I do.
But I think people are forgetting it's not illegal. Leaks, you know,
right.
I feel like it's a sham. They're focusing on the leaks to try to not focus on the Russian interference, even though it's all broadly connected. But
it's a federal crime to release classified information.
Right, classified. But, I mean, has that happened?
The transcripts were classified information.
Really?
So, yes.
Will we ever know who did it?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. You have, what's his first name? You keep calling him Mr. Rogers. Michael Rogers, director of NSA, saying that as soon as he started seeing stories in the papers, he sat down with all of his top advisors and reminded them not only of that's a felony to do that, but also that they, you know, the power of the NSA to eavesdrop and the power that we as American people have given our government after 9/11 to push the envelope and to not have to get as much court approved authority before they can do that is a sacred relationship. And so they are violating not just the law, but the ethics of their role as a member of the intelligence community. But will we ever know who did it? No. And I mean, the New York Times at one point, I think talks about how they had 9 different sources for some.
So right.
These are 9 different people leaking different bits of information. And you have James Comey just before we started talking during testimony saying that often what happens is it's almost like that game of telephone where somebody thinks they know something and it goes down the line and then it ends up in a reporter's hands and it's not fully accurate. So he's not willing to say that that's what happened with these stories, but he's just kind of hypothetically saying it can happen.
How does this differ from if you go back to the Watergate scandal and the guy who was deep throat and him leaking information? How is this similar or different from that story?
I don't know that that leak was classified information. He was directing reporters
to the
wiretapping of the Democratic National Committee. So I don't think I know enough to say whether that was an ongoing investigation that was possibly being disrupted by the leaks. But that's what we have here. We had an ongoing FBI investigation, which is still ongoing.
But if it's something as severe as a presidential election being tampered with, it doesn't get bigger than that.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
It's pretty big. The distinction that the NSA director keeps making, and that I think is an important one, is there's no evidence, and this they're on record, you'll probably read about it in the papers, there's no evidence that vote tabulations were changed in any of these swing states. Nobody was in the voting booth. Did Russia do what it often does with our election process and try to undermine it by, you know, propaganda, by hacking into the DNC's website, by releasing Podesta's emails to disrupt the campaign? Yes, I don't know that that's even in dispute anymore. So that's why we have this committee to figure out how that happened. But again, disrupting the DNC, you know, taking the emails of the Democratic National Committee is hacking. But the Democratic National Committee is not our government. That is a separate private campaign related entity. So it's not as egregious as had they actually done something to change. They didn't change any votes. They just kind of tried to mess with the public relations aspect of the campaigns.
Now, do we know if it's anyone who is on a supporter of Trump or an anti-Trump person who released this? I don't even know if we're ever going to find out who stole Tom Brady's jersey, because I know it was a member of the international press that will never be named.
It's in Mexico, right? They found it in Mexico.
Oh, Judy.
Where Judy Pilak was just vacationing.
You know what? Unless you have proof, don't be looking at me.
International media.
Yes, I did hear that, but they haven't said exactly who the culprit is.
But is there strife within, not the Trump administration, I guess, yes, his people. Is it someone on his side? Is it someone who was against him? Will we ever know?
I mean, if I were just to guess, I would say you have these intelligence officials who knew that this was ongoing, who knew there was an FBI investigation, and you have administration officials, including Trump, lying about it and putting it down and tweeting about it and making it seem like it's not true. And I think probably they made the wrong decision I would never suggest that you release classified information, but I think they felt that they needed to set the record straight, or that the truth somehow needed to come out.
Right. Going back to what Bill said in Watergate, sometimes people, it's the wrong thing, but in the end, they feel like it's the right thing to do, even
exactly.
though it's wrong.
To get it out in the open.
Exactly.
Right. And it had to
but
be.
But who can say? But right. That's how it looks.
I mean, there was a Senator Rand Paul, earlier today, you know, libertarian at one time was running against Trump, but he's saying these employees should be brought in and given lie detector tests. Now, I don't know how I feel about that, but you are a top clearance level intelligence official representing the United States of America, and you're leaking documents. So I don't know. Maybe that will be next steps.
Man, I don't trust anybody anymore.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
No,
only
you
your
shouldn't.
Mom. Like, verify. What's the...
And even check her
even
sources.
Even if your mom tells you she loves you, trust but verify.
Somebody has leaked documents that you have reached out to Jobo and you want me replaced because Eddie's on his own and you want
to
work
people.
With Jobo.
I'm not
Bill
lie
and
to you.
Jobo.
That's right. I'm looking into that as a possibility.
But really, it goes to an administration just in disarray.
Yeah.
I mean, it
does, doesn't it?
It's frightening.
It makes your head spin.
It does. You have all three agencies now, FBI, NSA, and Justice, all saying no evidence that Trump Tower was tapped. And, you know, when is Trump going to realize that he can't just a tweet of 140 characters has sent spent weeks and months investigating
and got Sean Spicer's panties in a bunch when he was saying he said wiretap. It was quotation marks. That just means some kind of surveillance.
Right. They'll never stop. I mean, because.
But is Donald Trump going to admit, maybe I was
so
wrong?
It's so serious, and he won't admit it, and he'll just go on to the next thing, and it'll be forgotten. That's what's been happening repeatedly. He says something, and it's wrong. It's fake news on his end, but.
But that's always, we keep hearing misdirection, that every time there's a major implication against Donald Trump, he throws something out like, Obama's wiretapping my hotel. So is that misdirection? Is he a good enough chess player to think three moves ahead, or is it just a coincidence?
No, I think it's just a coincidence, and I don't think he's that smart. I do think he's tweeting at 4 or 5 in the morning. I think he's reading something or he's watching the news and it gets into his head is his way of communicating with his base. And then the Sean Spicers of the world have to come in and be like, GD, I got to deal with another.
You're like that guy in the movie.
Harvey Keitel.
Yes.
I'm sure he's banging his head against a wall too, because then he has to try to defend and find like little threads of truth. Well, this is what he really meant to say. And I mean, for your communication staff to have to go out and do that for an hour and a half every day before the White House press corps, just stop tweeting. But
when is he going to quit? If I was Sean Spicer, I know we've talked about this and you're like, this is a plum gig, but it's a plum gig that is taking all your energy.
Right.
And is it a plum gig anymore?
Yeah.
They cycle out pretty quickly. Chiefs of staff and the top communication person for the White House, no matter who they're working for. I mean, they usually last a year, year and a half, because it is. It's absolutely draining and exhausting. Sean Spicer has a wife. She's one of the head lobbyists for the beer distributors in Washington, D.C. They have two little kids.
He doesn't need this.
There's only so long you can physically do the job, I think.
All right, a quick break. Thank you, Kristen. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you, Judy.
We should go back to talk about drinks.
Really? I know, because now we need one. This is what happened.
What a downturn. We went
you
to such
it
fun
back
conversation.
The beer
I need my advice.
Politics.
All right, a break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're streaming. You can find us at WGNradio.com. You can click on the extra or the plus stream. You can also go to our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, and there's a direct link pinned to the top of our page.
They tell me it's free, Wendy. There's no charge on this.
No charge.
No charge. Gratis.
We were talking to Kristen McQuarrie before and a little off the air about, you know, Donald Trump watches a lot of the shows that he likes. And I'm not talking comedies. I'm talking the news shows. And then it's early in the morning or late at night, depending on how you look at it. And he starts tweeting. And I understand when you get something in your craw, you got to get it out. So I can understand why he does it. He's been misspelling a lot of things. Anytime I post something, I go over it like 10 times. Does this sound too bitchy? Did I spell anything wrong? Because people base you on what you've tweeted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you ever mistweeted something? Have you ever...
Oh, I've gotten my... I have a big mouth, Wendy, if you didn't know that about me. So I get
myself
into trouble a lot. But yes, I tweeted something, I don't know, maybe a month ago. And it was kind of a snarky tweet where I was trying to sound smart and I misspelled something and I knew it. And then I had somebody catch me on it and I was like, oh, so I just tweeted back, you know, you got me. I did misspell it. I was waiting for the grammar, you know, the grammar nerds to come out and catch me and they did. But I'm like you where I'm pretty careful about emails. I reread, nothing really gets fired off from my end. I'm too...
Me neither.
There's that saying, like, everything you email or all of your social media, expect that it could someday be before a jury or whatever. Like, you know, just be careful and make sure things are spelled correctly. But Twitter doesn't catch you with misspellings.
It doesn't have an autocorrect?
It doesn't. Like,
Facebook
even if you're texting, it'll underline a misspelled word. And Twitter doesn't do that. So you have to be very careful.
And I, like, you can go back in Facebook and edit something that you've put, which, and I hate that it says edited, because then it's like I always think that people wonder what did she take out, but sometimes it's a spelling error or something, or I just don't like the way it was clunky,
right?
But it says it's edited, but you can go back in there and edit it. You can't on Twitter,
right?
Which stinks.
Yes, you can't edit it. And I guess Bill said you still can delete tweets.
I think you can.
I wasn't sure if you can delete tweets.
I think you can.
I'm gonna be busy this afternoon deleting.
Another quick question. Donald Trump has a history of not doing well with handshakes. He's got a very awkward situation with handshakes. So Angela Merkel was in from Germany, and there was a time where they were supposed to shake hands, but Donald Trump didn't seem interested in shaking her hand. What was behind that? Why wouldn't he extend a hand and shake her hand?
It was just awkward. And so, you know, they have the earpieces on. They're being translated through their earpieces. So he looked so like he didn't even hear the question.
Yeah.
So I wondered if he just didn't. She said something like, should we do a handshake?
Right.
But maybe with his earpiece on and with her accent, it didn't quite register, because I can't imagine that he would not shake her
hand. He's a businessman. He totally would have done that. And you're right. He didn't even move his gaze. It's like he didn't even know she was talking to him.
Right. I wondered, he didn't even look at her as if he heard her voice. He was still looking straight ahead. So.
Looking a little nervous, I gotta admit.
Yeah, he did look nervous. And the photographers were all snapping pictures and said, could we get a handshake or something like that? But I got the feeling he didn't.
He just didn't pick up on
the
request.
I'm giving him a big benefit of the doubt. Am I? I might be. I don't know.
Because you've seen other clips of him when shaking hands with people. Sometimes it's too close. Sometimes it goes on too long.
It's really hard. Wasn't there a whole story that he like squeezes the knuckle?
Yeah.
And that's his way of
overcompensating.
That's what it is, isn't it?
For his small hands.
They are tiny.
Is that what you mean?
But also just to prove a powerful handshake,
right.
You want to show I'm a good businessman. There are people that we've met that have come in the studio, and there was one person, I can't remember who they were, and they almost broke my hand.
Yeah. They go way overboard.
I take a tough handshake, though, over those, like, limpy
fish handshake. It's like a dead fish.
Or if it's moist, even.
They're just nervous to meet you.
I'll take a big, grabby hand over that cold, wet one.
You can delete tweets whenever you want, the way.
You
can't edit them, which is a problem. So take your time. Not only President Trump. Everybody gets mad when we don't say president. But look him over and, you know, make sure... Again, when you're snarky, sometimes it's too snarky for your own good. So I do read things over a bunch of times and go, maybe I should word it differently.
Right.
So people should be a little more careful with social media.
Okay, we're talking directly to President Trump. President Trump!
Yes.
That's who we're talking to. We assume exactly. He listens every day.
And so sure. You're not on Twitter, Bill?
I'm not, no.
And what's your reasoning?
I'd rather save up any of my thoughts for the actual show and not just throw them out there during the course of the day. So,
yeah.
And also, I know I would say something on there that people would go, we used to like this guy, and then he wrote this.
You know? Oh, they do that when they listen to you, too.
That's what I mean. I'd rather be accountable for it during these 2 or 3 hours than just in the middle of the night.
Got it. You want to draw the listeners in.
Yeah.
You don't want to give away too much about.
I try to only be inventive between 10 and 1 o'clock every day. The rest of the other 21 hours are just nothing.
Right.
I love Twitter.
It works. I do, too. I mean, I get a lot of my news from Twitter, a lot of breaking news. So that's why when people aren't on it, I think you might be missing a headline here or there.
Yeah.
You know, just saying.
The only people I want following me are stalkers. I don't want people on Twitter following me.
Oh.
I just want the weird guy who lives behind Dominic's to follow
me. Oh, they will. They will.
Good.
They already do. You have an account, but you're not behind
it. No, someone else is doing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. But but they're not offensive. They're just.
I don't know. Maybe.
They don't do anything.
They don't do anything?
Okay. No.
That's my boy.
I have a couple of fake accounts, too. But I watch them to make sure that I don't have to call
them. You do? I don't.
Mm-hmm. There's somebody who calls me Trib Tower Chick. Something because my Twitter handle is State House Chick, which is there was a long story behind that, but because I cover the State House primarily, Springfield.
Oh, so you're not behind your fake things, so you can be snarkier. Someone is misrepresenting you,
right? They opened an account under.
Oh, really?
Kind of like waiting to dive in and start, you know, tweeting bad things, I suppose.
So they're pretending to be you.
Yes,
but it's definitely not you.
It's not me.
Oh, that's good.
All right, I have a dilemma.
Which is?
We have a phone call that seems like a good phone call, but we're getting close to being out of time, so.
Do it. We could use the overtime.
All right. This is Tommy. Tommy, we're talking to Kristen McQueary, and we're talking to you, and what's going on?
Well, first of all, I got to tell you, I like your extra hour almost better than your regular hours.
Thank you, Tommy.
What are we doing differently?
I don't know. You just talk more.
Well, thank you. There's less commercials. That's why.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Absolutely. Well, that too. But, hey, you don't bring on extra external guests that don't make any sense. But
well, Kristen McQueary's here.
Yeah, but she's okay. I mean, she's part of the family.
Yeah.
Aw.
You guys misunderstand Mr. Trump. When he gets up at 3 or 4 in the morning to make these tweets, he's really just putting down notes for his book on interpretation of dreams. All this is really just a dream.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Now we
Thank
know.
You so much.
Thank
now
you, Tommy.
I get it.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
You pulled it all together, Tommy. Thank you. Have a great day.
And you and I just picked up 90 seconds of overtime.
Yeah, baby.
Well, Kristen, thank you so much.
Sure,
this I know this will be an ongoing discussion for the next few weeks, months, or years. So we'll check in soon and find out where things stand.
Sounds good.
Kristen McQueary, of course, can be read in the Chicago Tribune. Please do. Wendy, that's it. We're done for today. The stream is over.
We're almost 2 minutes into overtime territory now.
No. Stretch it out a little bit. Watch
this. Kristen,
today's show was really pretty. What's the word?
All right, we've hit 2 minutes overtime.
It was great.
All right, what's coming up next? Because should we crosstalk with who's up next?
Yeah, nobody's up next, so there will be no crosstalk today. But I'm sure whatever they would have planned would be tremendous and positive. You and I will be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Day 7 of the stream. Don't miss a single episode. Thanks for being here. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. Bye.